on our website homepage, there's a place to click and download my outline, and it's a rather extensive one today. If you're going to try to handwrite it, it'll be challenging, but you could pause this and print that out. We also have a new addition to our website. In the lower right-hand corner, there's a place where now you could do online giving to help support the work that we're doing for the Lord. I would remind you that we are going to meet at Kalita at 9:30 Sunday morning, and that we are practicing all the CDC guidelines in that service. We'll be experiencing communion tomorrow in a different way. And if you want to join us at 9:30 in Kalita, you're more than welcome. So as we dive into the study of the book of Acts, seeking this mysterious life empowered by the fire of the Holy Spirit, today is July 12th of 2020. The title of the message is Paul at Antioch, Poseidon 2. And our scriptural text is Acts chapter 13, and we're going to study verse 20 to 26. So the outline, number one, God's Old Testament leadership. Number two, God's New Testament leadership. When we were creating the message, we wanted to try a new pattern that would move along faster and hopefully keep us more engaged. The first half should move along at a rate where you won't be able to lay down your pencil or your pen. Last week, we started our study of Paul's message to the folks in Galatia. This is an extremely important section of Scripture because it's the only full-length report of a sermon we have given by Paul. If one was to compare the message to Peter's message in Acts chapter 2, they would discover that the main points are essentially exactly the same. So we're going to read Acts chapter 13, verse 20, and we're reading out of the NIV, and we'll go to verse 26. All of this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, from the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning King David, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From his descendants, God has brought to Israel the Savior, Jesus, just as he had promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you suppose I am? I am not the one you're looking for, but there is one coming after me whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Fellow children of Abraham and God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent.'" That's the end of Acts 13, 20 to 26. So our outline begins with God's Old Testament leadership. From God's creation until the time of Moses, God sought to be one spiritual leader. Think about that. Over those spans of thousands of years, there was no spiritual leader. God sought to be the spiritual leader of everyone's life on an individual basis. A on our outline, God's leadership through Moses. So we start with Moses. Number one, Moses was an adopted son. Did you know that? Moses grew up in a single mother home. Think about that. When I Googled single mother homes in the U.S., I was shocked to discover that 80% of the USA homes today are like this. In the United States of America, as of last Thursday, 80% of all the homes are single-parent homes, single-mother homes, and the sad reality of their statistics was 40% of that 80% are in poverty. So God picked a man who understood what was going on in our culture today with the single-parent homes. Paul will write to us in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 15, this: "The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the spirit has brought you into adoption of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father." The end. So Paul will make an important point of this reality that Moses lived of adoption into sonship. Number two on our outline, Moses chose family over fame. And I underline the word chose. Moses chose family over fame. Moses fled Egypt after he killed an Egyptian mistreating a Jew. In Egypt in that time, anyone who killed anyone was subject to the death penalty. You couldn't even kill a slave without fear of the death penalty. I wonder how different the South Side of Chicago would be if when you murdered somebody, you were murdered or killed yourself. Moses could have been the Pharaoh of Egypt. That was within his grasp. And I wonder how many today choose career over family. Moses' choice was family over his fame. But I think a lot of people in their daily lives choose their career and invest more energy and effort into their career than their family. Number three, Moses met the Holy Spirit with fire. And underline fire. Moses met the Holy Spirit with fire. When Moses met God at the burning bush, he was never the same after that event. Jesus will use this to illustrate that God is the God of the eternal living. Number four, Moses had a personal relationship with God. So underline personal relationship. Moses had a personal relationship with God. Moses talked with God as one does with a friend, face to face. They had conversations. They communicated. At times, Moses presented arguments to get God to reconsider some of his actions. This is the relationship God wants to have with us. This first illustration in Moses is the relationship that God wants to have with each of us. Number five, Moses and the Holy Spirit penned the law. Underline the law. Moses and the Holy Spirit penned the law. Moses and the Holy Spirit will write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Paul will teach a lot about law and its relationship to us. We're studying the book of Acts. Recently, we studied the book of Romans, which in the New Testament chronological order would be next. But the majority of what Paul does in the book of Romans is explain to us this relationship of the law Moses penned and the life Jesus offers. Number six, Moses will make only one mistake. Underline mistake. Moses will make only one mistake. The children of Israel were in the desert and they needed water desperately. So the first time this happened, Moses hit the rock to bring out water. The second time it was necessary, God told him to just speak to the rock. But Moses lost his temper with the people and was frustrated, hit the rock, the water came out. But because of that, Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. Think about it. That's all it takes to miss out on the promised land, is one little minor mistake. He hit the rock rather than speak to the rock. And that didn't allow him to enter the promised land. In our world today, we don't think like that. One mistake could cause that big of a problem. Number seven, Moses was a humble man. Underline humble. Moses was a humble man. In Numbers 12:3, the Bible tells us Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth at that time. That's the end. Think about it. Nobody else was as humble as this leader, Moses. And I believe is that Moses held that title until the birth of Jesus. Now it is you and I's challenge to experience this lifestyle. Be on our outline. God's leadership through Joshua. God's leadership through Joshua. Underline the name Joshua. Number one, Joshua was strong and courageous. He was a valiant man of extremely good character. Joshua and Caleb were the only two from their generation that owned land in Canaan. When the children of Israel came up to the land of Canaan, Moses sent in 12 spies, one from each tribe. Joshua and Caleb were two of those 12. When they returned and made their report, Joshua and Caleb boldly said, God can do what he said he will do. The other 10 said, oh, these people are too big, too bad, too much for us. God, even God couldn't. And that caused the children of Israel to wander 40 years in the desert until all Joshua and Caleb's generation of men died off. Joshua and Caleb believed God could do what he said he would. Think about it. Joshua and Caleb believed what God said he would do. This is the faith we need today. Number two, Joshua was discipled by Moses. Underline the word disciple. Joshua was discipled by Moses. Number three, Joshua did not pass discipleship on. So, Joshua did not pass on discipleship. In Psalms 78:5-8, David writes to us, the Lord decreed statutes and established his law, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children even to be born, and in turn they would tell their children. Then they would put their faith and trust in God, and would not forget his deeds, and would keep his commands. They would not be like our ancestors, a stubborn, rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God and whose spirits were not faithful to him. The end. That appears to be the culture that I see today. Stubborn, rebellious, hearts that are not loyal to God and spirits that are not faithful to him. That seems to be a big problem in our world today. Our generation has not done well with this, teaching the next generation, discipling the next generation. Now, on the other hand, the world has done very well in removing all truth of God, the name of Jesus, and prayer from any teaching of our children. When you think about it, there no longer is a period of time, first thing in the morning, where everybody stands up, puts their hand over their heart, faces the American flag, and pledges allegiance to the nation we live in. It is no wonder that we have the chaos in the streets of the United States today. The world has done well at taking God out of the schools, Jesus out of our language, and an allegiance to the country is set aside for personal, individual rights. But we can become a small part of the solution. Each one of us can become a small part of the solution. As for us, as for our house, we will serve the Lord. When God showed me that passage in Joshua, it changed all of our lives at the household. I was working 11 to 7 one night at the steel mill and happened to read where Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When I came home and dilly-dallied around till Julie finally got around to getting up, and I told her I read that passage, I read it to her, and I said, "That's what I want to do with our family." She'd been wanting that for a long time, and it changed the whole direction of our lives. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See on your outline, God's leadership through judges. Underline the word judges. So God's leadership through judges. And judges shows us a pattern. Number one, people sin. Number one, people sin. Number two, God adds subjection. So, people sin, underline the word sin. God adds subjection, underline subjection. Number three, people make supplication. People make supplication to God. And number four, God brings salvation. And then number five, this is repeated in Judges. So sin leads to God's supplication. Sin leads to God's subjection. People make supplication to God. He brings salvation. That's the process that I believe we need today in our global crisis. That we would seek God, make supplication to God on behalf of those who are dying from COVID. Pray for their eternal salvation. Pray for our nation. Next, God's leadership through kings. D on your outline. God's leadership through kings. And underline kings. And number one, King Saul was disobedient. He made one mistake. So King Saul had been king for a while. They were having a problem with the Amalekites. And God told him to go and kill every one of the people and all of the animals. Massacre, slaughter, everything, they were that devoutly evil. But when Saul and his men went there, they killed the worst, but they kept the best of the animals and the best of the women. And when God saw what he had done, he rejected him as king. He killed most of the people and what they thought were the bad ones, most of the animals and what they thought were the bad ones. But because he didn't kill all of them, God rejected him as king. Number two, King David had a heart for God. Underline the word heart. King David had a heart for God. Number three, David was obedient. Underline obedient. David was obedient. Number four, David made one big mistake and he was forgiven. Underline the word forgiven. David made one mistake and he was forgiven. Number five, David looked forward to God's promise. Underline the word promise. David looked forward to God's promise. Even though David committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband, there's no mention of any of that in the New Testament. Every time David is mentioned, it is very positive. Why? It's because David looked forward to the promise of someday one of his ancestors being the Savior of all of us from sin. And David put his faith in the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross and was totally forgiven for the sin of adultery and murder. Now, King David is in glory, and there will be nothing said about us but good said about us in eternity. When we get to eternity, there will be nothing negative said about us. The only things that will be said about us are the things that we did in harmony with the Holy Spirit and the victories that God experienced through our surrendered life to the Holy Spirit. But they won't bring up the bad stuff. God has not just forgiven our sin, He remembers them no more. I look forward to living in a kingdom like this. E on our outline, God's leadership through John. Underline John. God's leadership through John. Number one, John preached repentance and baptized. Underline repentance and baptism. John preached repentance and baptism. Number two, John preached to all people. Underline all. John preached to all people. And number three, John preached and understood holiness. Underline the word holiness. John preached and understood holiness. John was the last of the Old Testament prophets. John was the one who prepared the way for the Messiah, Jesus. Even the greatest prophet ever considered himself unworthy to even loosen Jesus' sandals. John's whole life mission was to try to turn Israel to the Messiah. John preached that people should turn from sin and trust in the Messiah, Jesus. That's what I'm saying we need to do. We as individuals, as a church, as a nation, should turn from our sin and trust in the Messiah, Jesus. And not just once, repetitively throughout every day. John baptized with water, and John taught there was a second baptism, a baptism with fire. Moses was the first to get this baptism of fire. Our family friends we're reading about in the book of Acts received this too. This is it. This is the gift of God that we are seeking. John is clear that the path to this promise is repentance of personal sin. So this gift of baptism of fire is the gift that we're seeking in our study in Acts. And John is really clear. How you receive that promise is repentance of your own personal sin. As we look at our filled-in outline, what do you see? What has Paul done when you look over that outline? That's all of the Old Testament. He covered all of the Old Testament. Moses, the author of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Joshua is the next book. And then we have Judges, which covers Ruth and so forth. And then we have Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Then we have David, the Psalms, and his son, the Proverbs. And then we have Samuel. All of the prophets are listed under Samuel. And then we have John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets. This is it. This is the end of the Old Testament. Some people believe that history is just a pattern that keeps on repeating itself. This is a rather cynical verdict on our world. Do you agree with this pattern? Some people believe that things just happen repetitively. They teach that history is a record of human sins, mistakes, and failures. Some Christians' view of history is more optimistic. We believe that history is always going somewhere according to the purpose of God. Last week we called it the scarlet thread that runs through all history. I call this God's grand drama. From Genesis to the end of Revelations, God has scripted a drama that mankind is living out. It's going someplace. We are a part of this. So as we look at point two on our outline, God's New Testament leadership, A, Jesus is the beginning of New Testament history. Underline Jesus and beginning. Jesus is the beginning of New Testament history. The coming of Jesus is good news to one group of people. In Christ Jesus, one may find the forgiving power that can set them free from condemnation that should be theirs and instead find that they get to experience friendship with God. So one group of people who believe in Jesus get to be friends with God, have their sins forgiven, have the condemnation on their lives removed. God is calling individuals to an intimate relationship with Him that has that effect. He desires us to be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus. His desire is that each one of our lives would be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus. He accomplishes this by putting His Holy Spirit into the control center of one's life. When we allow Jesus to be in control of our life, in the control center, His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is controlling our life, the result is that we fulfill the Great Commission, that we make disciples. So here's my challenge. Don't quench the Spirit when it prompts one to move to speak about Jesus. If the Holy Spirit is encouraging you to say the name of Jesus and speak for Jesus, do not quench that. He gives the words to say and the things to do if we are willing to remain in His Spirit control of our lives. Be on our outline. The message of salvation is to us. The message of salvation is to us. And underline us. What is good news is not so for others. What God intends for good news is, in fact, bad news for another group of people. It makes worse the condemnation of those who have seen it and have rejected it. God offers an invitation to all to believe in Jesus as his or her personal Lord and Savior. Will you put your faith and trust in Him today? His Spirit is calling out to you through the great love, grace, and mercy He offers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our head to You. Humbly we worship You. Humbly we bend our knee to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Your only begotten Son. He is the only salvation of the world. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for when You left, You sent Your Holy Spirit to be with us, to be in us, and to be our friend, to be our comforter. Humbly today, we seek this Holy Spirit. We ask You to save lost souls. We ask You to lead individuals into a personal repentance of sin. We ask for life change in our lives. We ask for change in our church, change in our country, change in the world, all because of You, Jesus. You are the Lord. You are the King. And we bow to You in humble love and worship. Thank You, sir. Amen.
Oh, no, You done it now. Gonna kiss the King, gonna kiss the crown. Said, oh, no, You done it now. Time to feel the fire. Rumors spreading around. How could You think He would stay down? Said rumors spreading around. Nothing but a liar. Get on out of here. Get on up and leave. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. He's choking on the blood that ran down the tree. Ain't no devil gonna tread on me. Get on the blood, you ran down the tree. shall prosper. Don't tread on me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't tread on me. Tread on me.